In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 87, Love of Our Neighbor. The image I see is, I think, the Good Samaritan, the man laying by the wayside, half-dead, and the Good Samaritan tending to him. The caption reads, "All human beings without distinctions of race, nationality, religion, riches, sex, age, or occupation are our neighbor. Even enemies are our neighbor. Only devils and souls in hell are not. Christ himself taught us the love of our neighbor in the parable of the Good Samaritan, who took care of a stranger that had been robbed and left half dead by the wayside," from St. Luke chapter 10, verse 29. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, for you are all one in Jesus, in Christ Jesus," from Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Why must we love our neighbor? We must love our neighbor because God commands it. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," from St. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. The love of our neighbor for the love of God is strictly enjoined upon us. This is why Holy Scripture speaks of only one commandment of charity. God looks upon acts of mercy towards others as acts of love towards himself. Quote, "For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Amen, I say to you, as long as you did it for one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it for me." St. Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 40. Quote, "If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar." First Epistle of St. John, chapter 4, verse 20. Our neighbor is a child of God, made after God's image. God loves him so much that he died to redeem him. God loves our neighbor as he loves us. God is preparing for him a place in heaven. If we love God, we shall love those whom he loves. Quote, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why then doth every one of us despise his brother?" chapter 2, verse 10. Third, our neighbor is our brother. All human beings are descended from Adam and Eve. Our neighbor is our own brother, belonging to the same human family, destined for the same place of eternal happiness, heaven. Only devils and those in hell are excluded from our love. We should be more especially united Christians because they are, like us, members of Christ's body, the Church. Our Lord said, quote, "By this all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another," from St. John chapter 13, verse 35. How should we love our neighbor? We should love our neighbor as ourselves for God's sake. To love our neighbor as ourselves means to have for him the same kind, although not the same degree of love, that we have for ourselves. Jesus gave us the golden rule, quote, "Even as you wish men to do to you, so also do you to them." St. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. The best way of knowing how to treat our neighbor is to put ourselves in his place. However, we are not bound to deprive ourselves of what is necessary in order to help our neighbor. In this case, the assistance we extend to him is not of obligation, but of counsel. This is the charity of the saints, the charity of Jesus Christ himself, who gave up his life that men may live. Quote, greater love than this no one has, that one lay down his life for his friends. St. John chapter 15, verse 13. It is not enough, in order to practice love of neighbor, to feel kind and affectionate towards him. Our love must be practical, aimed at doing our neighbor good, spiritually as well as materially. Quote, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. First Epistle of St. John, chapter 3, verse 18. And St. James said, quote, if a brother or a sister be naked and in want of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what shall it profit? From St. James chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. To love our neighbor for God's sake means to love him in order to please God. This supernatural love is called charity. If we love a person because we expect from him some favor or advantage in return, we love him for our own sake. Our love is interested. It is not real love. Our Lord says, quote, if you love those who love you, what merit have you? For even sinners love those who love them. In St. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. Again, another quote. But when thou givest alms, do not let thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing, so that thy alms may be given in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret will reward thee. In St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. If we love a person because he is attractive or kind, without any reference to God, we love him only for his own sake and not for God's. This is natural affection. True love of God makes us love even disagreeable people without reference to their love for us. It makes us love the poor, the sick, the unfortunate, the suffering, the repulsive, and even our enemies, just because God loves them and wishes us to love them. Thus, Christians of all ages have sacrificed themselves for charity. St. Peter Claver, the Apostle of the Negroes in Colombia, South America, became a slave of slaves for Christ's sake. In the Philippines, priests and sisters are laboring in the Culion leper colony in constant danger of exposure to the disease. Others take care of other charitable institutions with no hope of earthly reward, all for God's love. Should we give the same degree of love to all men? No. We may and should love some more than others. We should love our parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends, and benefactors best. Husbands and wives must be devoted to each other. Parents must sacrifice themselves for their children. We must love our country and countrymen in a special manner, because God gave them to us, but we must never hate or dislike people of other nationalities. We must exercise great care in choosing our companions. We should not be intimate with more than a trusted few. We should be kind to all, but not intimate with all. One rotten apple in a basket will rot all the rest in a short time. So an evil companion easily corrupts his associates. What is the reward of those who unfailingly practice the precept of love of neighbor? Those who unfailingly practice the precept of love of neighbor bring down blessings upon earth and will obtain heaven as their eternal reward. Our Lord called the precept of charity towards our neighbor a new commandment. Quote, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, that as I have loved you, you also love one another. from St. John chapter 13, verse 34. This is because before Christ's coming, people did not understand the precept of charity in the same sense that our Lord gives it. If today men would closely fulfill that precept, what blessings would ensue? No one would wrong his fellow men. There would be no need of prisons. There would be no extreme poverty, and peace would reign. Love is the fulfilling of the law, and so one who loves his neighbor for the love of God is rewarded with heaven. One who is good to his fellow men cannot be a wicked sinner. He who practices charity has other virtues. Love cannot exist alone in the human heart, as the heart cannot exist without other organs. That concludes our reading. If you have any questions or comments? Okay, not really much to say on this either myself, other than this is, I guess, perhaps another one of my favorite topics to preach about, the love of neighbor, treating our neighbor as we would wish to be treated ourselves, and that God still loves those, even our enemies, even those who hate us or do evil towards us, God still loves them, and I can guarantee that because they're not in hell yet. As long as they're still breathing, there is still hope, and God hasn't driven them out of his sight, and so he still loves them. He has prepared a place for them in heaven, and even those who do evil, they are loved by God in the sense that he wants them to repent. He wants them to go to heaven. And so likewise, those who are committing sin, we should want for them that they should repent, that they should do penance and become pleasing and acceptable to God so that they can enter heaven. And so it is incumbent upon us to pray for our fellow men, to pray for those who persecute us. I don't think I can really ever get tired or bored of the concept that of Christ hanging on the cross, asking in prayer to his Father that he forgive us because we don't know what we're doing. And I say us because we place ourselves. Everyone throughout history has been guilty of deicide, nailing Christ to the cross. And so it is our sins, individually as much as it is collectively, responsible for Christ's sacrifice and suffering on the cross. And so Christ has prayed for us, and he has given us that example. Rather than cursing one another, we should be asking God to bless one another, not to bless the evil deeds, but to bless us with the spirit of repentance, conversion, true contrition. These are all graces that we can pray for ourselves as well as for those who have done any kind of evil towards us. And yes, the love is various variations, and it's very different. I also like to put out the difference there that love and affection are very two different things. Love is something that intelligent beings that God has created are capable of. Affection is something that animals, the unintelligent beings that God has created are capable of. And the devils and the world we live in often try to blur that line between affection and love, and people may have affection for their dog or their car or whatever makes them happy, whatever makes them feel good. We tend to say, I love this or I love that, speaking of inanimate objects, but technically speaking, you cannot really love these things because they're not lovable. You can have affection towards them, and you can desire them in an affectionate manner, and there is a proper order to affection and a disorder to affection. But love, I think, is truly something above that affection. Your dog is capable of affection, but you must be capable of love. A world of difference, I think, between the natural and the supernatural. Okay. Without giving you a whole bunch of my sermons or synopsis of my sermons, I think we'll end here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Act of resignation to the divine will. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.